Well, one of my first memories of Evelyn early on was a time when I was out visiting, trying to get to know various members across the congregation. I came upon in Evelyn a very softly spoken lady, and I went into her house and sat down and had a lovely cup of tea. And then just when I was settled, I must say, I was caught off guard. For this softly spoken lady started peppering me with theological questions, one after another, to the point where I could hardly get my cup of tea into me. These are questions that showed someone who had a deep understanding of God's word, a deep love for theology and truth, and a deep love for the God of truth. We covered everything in that opening meeting, from the doctrines of grace, how God saves people, to not just the hope of Christ's return, but a detailed conversation on how he will return. Evelyn certainly kept this young pastor on his toes. But I knew from very early on that she was such a supporter of those entrusted with the responsibility of preaching and teaching God's word. This is evident again today in the way she asked Daniel Ashby, Pastor Daniel, who's a pastor at Lisburn Baptist, to do the committal. Then for Gareth, pastor at Cookstown Baptist, to be involved in the service today reading. And I know that she contacted you men and me often just to encourage us and let us know that she was praying for us. Evelyn loved God's word, and she especially loved the Psalms. And we shared a connection in this because I love the Psalms, this book of prayers, songs, and poems that we have in the Old Testament. She appreciated Psalms like Psalm 121, "I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." Or Psalm 27, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" But certainly, one of her favorite psalms that she loved to pray through and think through was the psalm that Gareth read for us earlier, Psalm 139. And I'd like to take Psalm 139 as the subject of this brief address. Psalm 139 is one of the most beautiful expressions of the pursuit of intimacy with God in all of Scripture. The psalm, rich in poetic expression, takes great theological truths like the omniscience of God, which means God is all-knowing, and it transposes it to, "God, you know when I sit down and when I rise up each day." The psalm takes words, theological words that Evelyn enjoyed using, like omnipresence, which speaks of God being all present everywhere. And the psalm transposes it to, "Even if I were to dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your right hand would hold me." This psalm, however, is not just an abstract meditation on the attributes of God. It is intensely practical in its goal. And the goal of this psalm is found right at the end of it. At the end of this celebration of and pursuit of intimacy with God, the psalmist just simply says, "O Lord, search my heart. You know all things. You search out all things. I invite you to search my heart. Look into me and see if there's anything in me that is displeasing to you. And lead me out of that place into the way everlasting." And I just want to pause for a moment and think together of what this reveals to us straight away about Evelyn's earnest desire to walk with God in a way that would honor him. that this was one of the prayers she loved to take on her lips. Lord, search my heart. Know my anxious thoughts. See if there be any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Does that not speak to us of a Christian who wanted to be right in their heart of hearts with God? So let's walk through the psalm and try to reflect for a few moments on what Evelyn saw here that made her appreciate this particular prayer in our Bibles so much. And I'll divide the psalm into just four simple sections, taking six verses in each section. The first thing we observe about Psalm 139 is that it is the prayer of one who says, God, I love the way you know me intimately. And here is one of the reasons Evelyn appreciated this psalm. It is a celebration of the God who knows us intimately. The psalmist, King David, that great Israelite king, begins by pairing words together that show how comprehensive God's knowledge of him is. Verse 1, you've searched me and known me. Verse 2, you know when I sit down and when I rise up. Verse 3, you search out my path and my lying down. Verse 5, you hem me in behind and before. The opening original line reads literally like this: O Lord, you have searched me and you know. And I think this leaves open to us the insertion of whatever it is in our lives that may be weighing us down. O Lord, you have searched me and you know. You know my fear. You know my frustration. You know my anxiety. You know my sadness. You know my dryness. You know my loneliness. The searching verbs just pile up one on another. You discern, you search out, you are acquainted with all my ways. You know. And I can just imagine Evelyn sitting in her home, day after day, through life having experienced ups and downs, knowing disappointments, knowing joys, knowing real grief and loss. And her finding in this psalm this great comfort from the God who knew her intimately. Oh God, you know. More than just knowing us. In verse 5, the author of this prayer says, Lord, you hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. This is beautiful because it teaches us that God does not just know us and know our trials and difficulties and anxieties. He lays his steadying hand on us with the flat hand on the back of reassurance. This is the God who knows us, who steadies us, and who holds us. And I know you as a family will know how Evelyn just reveled in this truth, just delighted in this, an expression of the intimacy she longed for and enjoyed with God. She knew, as one who never married, that there was no one like the Lord, her true husband, her true intimate companion who knew her inside out. And she loved the Lord and she loved his love for her. As well as being a psalm of one saying, I love the way you know me intimately. Second, we see that this is the prayer of one who says, God, I love the way your presence is always with me. In verses 7 to 12, David begins with a rhetorical question. Where shall I go from your spirit, he asks? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend heaven, you're there. If I lay my bed in Sheol, that is the realm of the dead, behold, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning, if I go east or west, if I dwell on the far side of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. The point of all of this poetic language is simply this. It would be pointless to ever try to run away from God or to think he's not present, because anywhere we go, he is always already there ahead of us. And instead of this all-knowing heart and eyes of God being oppressive, the author of the Psalm, David, finds this wonderfully reassuring. There's nowhere I can go where you will not be with me. God, you will always lead. This idea of God's right hand, that is that flat hand on the back of reassurance, this steadying hand that holds and leads us, this right hand of God across the Bible is a symbol of God's power. This strong, almighty God holds his fragile children with gentle hands. One Baptist pastor, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, said beautifully, in our lonely wanderings, we are led. In our solitary feebleness, we are held. The psalmist goes on to say that even if it feels like darkness is all around him, even if he feels like the darkness closing in is going to crush him, the darkness is not dark to God. He, in fact, is the one who brings light into darkness. I know in the past 6 months how Evelyn was struggling at times with fears and struggling sometimes with a sense of darkness emotionally. She would speak to me about this, and yet she continually turned her heart towards the Lord. We read together from Psalm 3, a beautiful psalm that says, you, O God, are a shield around me, my glory, and the lifter of my head. Maybe you're here today and you need to be reminded of that. Evelyn drew great comfort from this truth. This God whom I serve will never leave me, never forsake me, will always hold me. Even when we are struggling to hold him, he holds us. For it is the strength of his grip that is determinative, not the strength of ours. Thirdly, we see that this was so appreciated by Evelyn because this psalm is the prayer of one who says, God, I love your intricate involvement in all of my life. This really is the other side of the coin of the reality of God's presence always being with us. David, the psalmist, grounds God's total commitment to him in the fact that God has been involved with his life from the very beginning of life, the moment of conception in the womb. In the psalm, David reflects on the mystery of human birth and the attributes, and he attributes the creation and formation of a new human being to the author of all life, who is God. The language is as elegant as it is intricate. You formed my inward parts. You weaved me in the womb of my mother. In verse 15, he says, my frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. The point here, the poetic language is making, is that from the very earliest moments of life, God was totally involved, totally present. He knows every single part of every single moment of every single one of our lives. Even the parts we do not see and that no one else sees, the knitting together of the baby in the womb is God's knitting. And the psalmist is just taking this example of God's beautiful, intricate, full knowledge of every part of his life. He says, in your book were written all the days that were formed for me when as yet there was none of them. This is actually wonderful because what God's word is telling us here is that God is the one who brings us into existence, determining the day of our birth. And God is the one who decides when our earthly life will end. He has determined the day of our death. All the days ordained for us were written in his book before any one of them came to be. Death is not sovereign. Death does not decide when enough is enough. God is sovereign over death. God is the one who appoints when our earthly sojourn is up. And Evelyn again knew the reality of this intimate, all-knowing God in her life. She knew that by nature, she had sinned and in life offended this wonderful God. And yet she found and knew full and fresh life in Jesus Christ. She never got over her amazement that this wonderful God would set his love on someone small and insignificant like her. That was her interpretation of herself. And she loved to sing together the hymn, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous. How wonderful. And I have great memories of seeing her emotional as she would sing of this wonderful Savior. Fourthly and finally, a reason for Evelyn appreciating this prayer so much was that it is the prayer of one who also says, Lord, I hate everything that dishonors you. With the strongest possible language, the psalmist David utters his utter abhorrence of anyone who boasts arrogantly before this glorious God as if he does not matter. The psalm closes in the clearest possible terms with the author saying, I don't want to throw my lot in with those who hate you. Your enemies, Lord, are my enemies. Lord, I'm on your side. I want nothing to do with wickedness. The closing words of this psalm are not spiteful because people have not been nice to David the psalmist. These words come out of a passion for God's honor and glory. But what I want us to focus on again is just these last two verses, where the psalmist turns to say, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts or my cares, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Here the psalmist is saying, I don't just stand against all those things outside of me that dishonor you, God. I want to look into my heart and see if there's anything inside me that dishonors you. I want done with it. I want rid of it. And so the psalmist invites God to search every single quiet, secret corner of his heart to say, Lord, I want your light to pervade every single part of who I am. And so he invites God to search him. About a year ago, Evelyn invited me to come round because something was troubling her conscience. I want to respect her privacy, but she wanted to make sure that in this matter, her heart attitude was right before God. And we spoke for about an hour about forgiveness, about God's grace, about what God calls us to do in our lives so that we can reflect the gospel. And I must say, I think walking away, driving away that day, I was moved in my heart, seeing someone who so wanted their heart to be clean and right before God, that she, in her wisdom and experience, would come to someone young like me and would just want to just, do you think this is okay the way I'm thinking about this? Could we look at God's word together about this? And I just saw her heart and this desire that there would be nothing in her that would be offensive to God. She just wanted so much through and through to be right in her heart before God. The end of this psalm and Evelyn's passion for God to search her life and heart really sets a challenge before each of us here today. I guess the question we have to ask each of ourselves in light of this psalm is, are we ready to open our lives up to this kind of examination before Almighty God? To say to God, Lord, search everything. I don't want to hide or close off any part of my life or my heart to you. I want you to come into all that I am. See if there is anything in my life that is displeasing to you. And Lord, flush it out. We can be confident in inviting God in, because he already knows the depths of what is there. And here is what is amazing. This God who knows us intimately, in love, knew that by ourselves we could not have our hearts clean and right with him. And so in love, this Almighty God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to pay the debt that we could not pay, to provide the heart washing that we could not provide for ourselves. God sees the depths of your heart and my heart, and yet in love he sends his Son to cleanse our hearts, so that now in confidence we can turn to Jesus Christ, receive and rest in him, and know that he can wash our hearts and cleanse our consciences from the guilt and sin that would make us want to hide from God. We might say, oh, I would not want God to see into every depth of my heart because I don't like what's in there. He already knows it, and he sent his Son to cleanse it. But each of us must receive Jesus and rest in him and accept this searching, this renewing grace, this heart inside out washing, so that in the end we can know, not because of our own performance, but because our hope is in Christ, we can know that our hearts actually are right before God. Do you know the God who knows you so intimately? Have you opened your life to invite Jesus Christ to cleanse and renew your heart so that you can be led out of the way that is displeasing to God and into the way everlasting that honors this God? Evelyn received and rested in Jesus Christ, and she has now entered in to the fullness of the intimacy this psalm speaks of. the psalmist who says, I love the way, Lord, you know me. I love the way your presence is always with me. I love the way you've always been intricately involved in my life. And Lord, I love the way you can search me, know me, and cleanse my heart. Evelyn has now stepped into the reality of everything she enjoyed and everything that this psalm pointed her towards. Jesus Christ came into the world to deal with our greatest problem, sin, death, an unclean heart, and everything that would separate us from God and from eternal life in heaven. Jesus paid our debt so that none of us in him would have to fear hell. This is real. And now Evelyn will be singing, if ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. Because you have brought me through life. You have brought me through death. You have led me all the way home to yourself. Do you know that on your God-appointed day of death, you will have a Savior to meet you and bear you safely through death to glory. Oh, open your heart to him today. Receive and rest in Jesus and know the calm of sins forgiven and peace with God.